The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Happy Father's Day. So recently I was talking to somebody about responsibility and control, which are not at all the same thing, though they may look a little bit alike, and sometimes we get them confused. We can be responsible for something, like a job or a project maybe, and end up trying to control it all, and that doesn't work. Trying to control things or people almost never works. We have trouble, suffering. Responsibility. We are responsible for everything we do, say, and think, no matter what happens, regardless of what others may do and say, and what we think they're thinking. And when there's a problem, this is very helpful to remember. When you have a sort of a little argument with somebody or something, we can't blame them for what we do and say and think. We are responsible, no matter what they've done, even if it's completely, seemingly outrageous, impossible, unbelievable, horrendous, we're still responsible for what we do and say and think. The simile of the saw. You know, I love this simile. The Buddha says, even if somebody comes to dismember your every joint with a saw, don't glare angrily or hatefully at them. Practice patience and forbearance. Well, it's pretty hard to imagine forbearing and being patient if somebody's cutting you up. But I think his point is, no matter what happens, we are responsible for what we do and say and think. And this extreme example makes us think, well, if I should be patient if somebody's cutting me in bits, maybe I can be patient with this person who's getting in my face, you know, or not doing what I want them to do. We have a choice. This is what he's saying. We have a choice. We don't have to react angrily or get upset. We maybe feel upset, but we don't have to feed it, nourish it, justify it, or get, you know, be angry, give an angry response. And this isn't a negative thing. That we have a choice is liberating. It's wonderful. We are not stuck with doing the same things over and over again. We are not stuck with having an upset response when the same thing happens, maybe with the same people and all that. We're not stuck with our way of doing things. We can change. Wonderful. Liberating. Great. And we're not responsible for what other people do and say and think. We can't control other people. We may think we can, but we actually, it doesn't work. However, we might have done something that prompts a reaction in somebody else. You might have said something unskillful or unkind or thoughtless. We might have given somebody a false impression of something and helped bring about a little confrontation or something that's difficult. It may not be a confrontation, but something, a misunderstanding, a sort of unease, a difficult relationship or something. We might have done something to help bring this about, but we haven't made somebody else yell at us. They have chosen to. And if there's a problem, it's up to us to consider, what have I done that has helped to bring this about? I have not caused someone else to do something, but I've given them the opportunity. I've set it up in a sense. I've done something not skillful, probably. And sometimes we haven't. Sometimes it's just that way, the person's already upset, and no matter what we did, it could have happened. But sometimes we might have said something or done something we could have done a little better. And it's always helpful to look and see, where's my part in this? Taking responsibility. Maybe we said the right thing at the wrong time. You know, the person needed to hear this, but not right now, thank you. And we don't always know, but we can look and say, think, was that helpful to say that? Did I kind of set somebody up for something? Because I'm responsible for what I do and say and think. Not to blame another person, not to blame ourselves, is not a matter of blame. And this is the thing that's really hard to see. We always have this tendency to try to put blame somewhere, usually not on us. Sometimes we blame ourselves for everything. Often we blame other people for everything, but actually it's helpful if we don't blame anybody for anything and simply look to see, how could I have done better with that? What went wrong there? How could I have done something differently and thereby not created a problem? Taking responsibility for our past mistakes, whether it was 5 minutes ago or long past. This is not the same as blaming oneself. There's not the judgment there. I did such and such, that was a bad mistake. I shouldn't have done that. But not then to say, therefore I'm a bad person and, you know, deserve everything I get. It's more a matter of, okay, I did something, now I'm getting a consequence. To accept it without complaint and to see where we can learn something. How can I learn from this? How can I do better next time this happens? What was it that prompted me to get upset or to make a misjudgment or to harm somebody or whatever it might have been? What was that? Taking responsibility for our mistakes. And to do that is to see contrition and conversion. The conversion part is seeing where we could have done something better, seeing how we did that, why we did that, and resolving to change. And that is how we stop creating suffering. No blame, just looking, seeing with kindness. To try to learn and keep on trying to learn, even when we seem to do the same thing over and over again, which does happen. Ah, happened again. I did it again. Okay. Keep trying to do better. Yeah, keep trying to change, but with kindness and compassion, not with that judgment. Oh, silly person, you've done it again. You know, but just, you know, ah, happened again. When we blame ourselves or we blame another person, we actually can't see clearly. We're just getting into this right and wrong thing. But if we can just look without that blame, we can see with kindness and we can actually learn something, which is very, very helpful. It's looking with compassion and not just looking from the point of view of my view, myself. I'm right, I'm wrong. The other person's right, they're wrong. Just, ah, that's what happened. I made a mistake. Sorry. Try to do better next time. Or apologize, or wherever it is. Sometimes we feel responsible for something that's not our fault. The way our children turn out, they may not do what we'd like them to do, or be the way we'd really like them to be. Sometimes they make terrible mistakes. Is that our fault? You know, it must be a terribly painful thing to have a child who then makes a dreadful mistake. What did I do? You know, what could I have done to prevent this? Sometimes we couldn't have prevented it. And sometimes we just didn't do the right thing at the right time. We might have contributed to it out of ignorance, but we almost certainly didn't force them to do something. They made a choice. And still, it's a huge suffering when, you know, people's, so anyone whose child has, you know, gone to a church and killed a bunch of people or committed suicide, or those terrible things that happen, it must be devastating for the parents. Feeling responsible for all the suffering in the world. We don't have to take on the burden of the whole world. We can't. It's not our fault. But what we can do is do something about ourselves, about our own creating suffering, our own angry responses and our own defensiveness and all that. Trying to do our own best in our own life. And for some people this means social action. For some people it means political action. For some it means doing the best we can in our own life, in our own way, with the people we are with. Just trying to be a decent human being. To learn from our mistakes. Not to blame ourselves or other people. Just to learn to practice kindness, wisdom, and compassion. Taking responsibility means doing the best we can in the circumstances that come our way. It doesn't mean doing things perfectly, and it does not mean being in control of things. With control, you're attached to a certain outcome. You want things to go a certain way. You want things to work out the way you want them to work out. And I think that's the difference. With control, you have some kind of an agenda. And with responsibility, I think you're just trying to do the best you can. It's a much more open thing. You haven't got some kind of closed view of how it's all going to turn out, because our closed view tends to be a small view. But taking responsibility, just doing the best we can with whatever comes our way, is a different matter. There's a lot more room there for learning and kindness and all that. With responsibility, you're responding to things, but you're not controlling them. Trying to control things usually creates suffering. It inevitably creates tension by its very nature. If I'm trying to control something, I'm trying to hold it in or stave it off or keep it to myself, or I'm trying to do something with something, and there's tension there. There's not the relinquishment or acceptance that you can get if you're not doing that. It creates tension in ourselves and in other beings. I'm the only one who can do this. If you want something done properly, you have to do it yourself. You know, I know this well, we all know this. Some of us are extremely familiar with this. And somebody wise whom I know, who runs a cabinet maker's shop, who also happens to be my brother, said, it's easy to let someone else do something well. It's much harder to let them do something badly. But how else will they learn? You have to let people do things badly and learn from their mistakes. Not easy to let somebody mess up that lovely piece of wood, but how else will they learn? To let people make their own mistakes. Again, having children, to let them grow up and make their own mistakes, they have to learn for themselves, you know, and to be able to refrain and not try to tell them how to run their life must be terribly hard. We can't keep people safe from the consequences of their actions. We have to let them live their life. With parents, it's Father's Day. Some of us have aging parents. Again, not to try to do, you know, what we think is best for them, but let them live their life as they wish. They want to live in a way that we think is not very safe or not the best way. Maybe that's the best for them, you know. Maybe trying to keep people safe isn't really what they want. Maybe they want to just be independent, make their own breakfast, read their own books, go out for a walk with their walker, even if it's not terribly safe. Whatever, you know, however people want, without being irresponsible with them or not caring, but just to respect. Respect other people, respect our kids, respect our parents, respect our people we work with, respect the people who work with us. To give them that freedom to make their own mistakes, to learn from their own things. We may not know what's best. It's a radical thought, but actually, sometimes we don't. A couple of years ago, I read a book about kind leadership written by a Buddhist. Of course, I looked for it and couldn't find it. It had a lot of good advice, I remember. And quite a bit of it is about not trying to control everything, to let people do things their own way. If you're a leader of a company, for instance, which is mostly what it was about, let people do things their own way. Let them experiment. Let them have ideas and, you know, new things. Let them have a say in how things are done and where things are going, what our values are. Do we really want to do it this way? Would it be better to do something a little more ethical here or something a little different? Or maybe there's an easy way to do this, to let people have ideas and have some part in things. They're not just cogs, you know, mindless, faceless cogs. It's respect. Respect for other people, that they also have something to offer. Very, very important, I think. For myself, as the abbess, I find it's good to do things this way, to let people, you know, that we work together rather than me just saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. Not to try to control everything. I don't really actually control much of anything as far as I can. It's much better that way. Sometimes something just appears. And I think, oh, okay. You know, I knew nothing about it, but there we are. And actually, in a way, I kind of like that because I'm not in charge of everything. Reverend Master G.U. used to say, the abbot is not in charge. I know exactly what she meant. But actually what she really meant was there is something bigger that is in charge. It wasn't that everything was getting away from her. It's more that you try to trust in something bigger than your own view, something bigger than what I think should be done, what I want. I don't have any great idea of where we're headed. You know, just to trust in that bigger thing, to trust that it will help us and lead us and keep us from dropping over a cliff that we haven't noticed. Just over this way a little, there you go, you know, before we fling ourselves off the cliff. To try to distinguish between what's good to do and what I just like, between what's really good and my own personal preferences. I'm still working at that. Not to push too much for what we'd like, you know. To let people have ideas, try new things, as I said. To respect those we work with. And to see that they often have better ideas or ways of doing things than I might. And still, we may be responsible. What happens, you know, how we go, where we go, I'm still responsible for that. But I don't have to be controlling everything. With control, some people say you can't really control anything, actually, and there's some truth in that. We do things on the assumption that the mountain won't blow up, we're not going to die of a heart attack before lunchtime, that a plane isn't going to drop on the house, and then we can live our life. But any of these things could happen. We just take for granted that things will kind of go along the way they are, more or less, you know. But in fact, everything's uncertain. I might die before lunchtime of a heart attack or whatever else might happen. We just don't know. Everything is uncertain. Things happen. There is always impermanence that strikes us at any time. And everything takes place within that. But on this little, you know, planet whizzing through the space, so far it's kept going, good. And we're on this little skin, on this boiling hot planet, just this little thin skin, everything goes kind of squidgy and mushy. And okay, so far so good, we're all right. But we don't know, you know. But we don't worry about it all the time, thinking, well, is the sky going to fall in? I hope not today. We just trust that all is basically okay, and we just live with that faith, actually. And then try to act within that. We can't live in constant terror that the world's going to end, otherwise we can't live at all. But in fact, we really can't control it. There's all kinds of things that happen to us. Many of them completely unforeseen. We can worry about all the things we can foresee And very often, the thing that happens is not what we had in mind at all. You never thought to worry about that one. Not having worried about it, am I worse off or better off? Maybe better off, because I didn't wear myself out worrying ahead of time. I can worry now. Might as well wait. You know? We can't control our life, or even our own body. It gets old, gets sick, it dies. Can't control that. We can take pills and do all that, but eventually it's going to, you know, it's on a slippery slope. As we get old, we start to lose control of what our body will do, of what our mind does. We start losing marbles and we can't find them. We can't do all the things we'd like to do. We start to lose independence. You know, I still like to be able to do all those things I used to do and can't do it anymore. Controlling our own mind. Well, that's a question, isn't it? Can I control my mind? Not really. For most of what we look at it, it's constantly coming up with ridiculous ideas and notions and dreams and fantasies and memories and thoughts and, you know, it's just a constant flood of stuff going through. I can choose whether or not to grasp onto those things. We have the choice to follow it or not. And often we just follow because we're not paying attention. Sometimes it doesn't feel like much of a choice. Sometimes we feel helpless with a very strong emotion or with something that's worrying us. And it's very hard to let it go. It keeps coming back, keeps coming back. Just to sit still and do our best with it. We have that choice. We can do our best to sit still in the midst of it and not be completely swamped by it. And if we feel completely swamped by something, by some problem, some feeling, whatever it might be, to just do our best to sit still in the midst of it and trust that we won't find our way through. Well, why do we try to control things? Usually it's because of fear, I think. Fear that things will get out of control, that people will do what we don't want them to do, that we won't have any say in what happens to us, that people will manage us and we'll have nothing that we can say about it. Other people will control us, especially if we are getting old or sick or whatever. And if you can recognize that fear and insecurity when they come up and not react by trying to control things too much, you know, to keep everything locked down and where I put it sort of thing, then we save ourselves and others a lot of suffering. If we're trying to keep everything locked down, everything under control, okay, this is where things are the way I want them, it's not going to work. And again, we cause ourselves and others a whole lot of stress, suffering. And it doesn't help. We're still responsible. We're responsible for what we do, for how we respond to things. No matter what has happened to us or what does happen, whether we feel like we're in control or not, we're still responsible for how we respond. Responsible, responding. And we don't have to try and fix everything. We can't fix everything. And we can't fix other people. We can't fix anybody. If we can fix ourselves, we're doing well, but that's not exactly a fixing. It's more a matter of relinquishing something. We can only work on ourselves, should I say. The territorial imperative. My job, my area, my responsibility. Get away, get away. Don't tell me what to do. You know. It's quite deep, actually. It's surprising how the sweetest of us will become raging beasts when somebody moves into our territory. It's, controlling other people. Some people really like to have that kind of power over others. But not everybody, contrary to popular belief, not everybody actually wants to be in charge of the universe. Some people want a quiet life, or just want things to, you know, maybe things harmonize, or maybe all be happy and get along. If we do have power over other people, whether we're a parent, or a spouse, or a boss, or if you just have a forceful personality that people will believe, oh, that sounds like a good idea. You know, we've got to be really careful, extremely careful, because it's very easy to misuse that power, whether intentionally or unintentionally. If people give power to us, or give control over themselves to us, we've got to be terribly careful and not take it wrongly. If we're a therapist or a teacher, we have power. If we're a priest or a monk, we have a certain amount of power. I don't like the word power, but it actually, in a way, that's what it comes down to some extent. People think we're wiser than they are and impute to us things we actually may not know or be able to help with. Doctors, you know, may have immense power over people who think they have the power to take away their sickness and keep them from dying, and they really can't. How do we use that power or control over other people? We have to be extremely careful not to push people around inadvertently, treat them without disrespectfully, inadvertently, by trying to fix people, help them, make them do what we want, you know, but to actually give people the opportunity to make their own mistakes, no matter who we are and they are, to just be careful. We can do an awful lot of damage by inadvertently or advertently misusing power and control. We can make other people afraid of us, or they can already be afraid of us. Or we can damage their trust by, you know, doing something we shouldn't do. And no one's going to be happy. And we won't be happy. I don't think dictators are terribly happy people. I think they're constantly worried about being stabbed in the back. And once, of course, you've got your box locked down, you can't open it, because what's going to happen when you open the box and let everything out? You know, so you're stuck with a situation where you've got to keep control over things, otherwise who knows what'll happen. Not a happy situation at all. Trust. Control is the antithesis of trust. Because when we're trying to control other people, we're not trusting them. We're not trusting them to do what they feel is best for themselves. We're not trusting them to make their own mistakes. When we're trying to control circumstances, we're not trusting that things may work out for the best, despite our best efforts. We're thinking that we know what's best, and this limits us, because our view is quite small, really. For me to think I know what's best, it's pretty pathetic, really. But if I can just relinquish that and just trust, open up to that, then it widens the picture considerably. There's a whole lot more possibilities than anything I could think of. Amazing things happen, you know, that we may not even dream of. When you're taking responsibility, we still have to make decisions and act as wisely as we can. We're not just saying, oh, let it all, you know. We still have to be responsible for what we do, our responses. But we have to be able to relinquish our grip on what we want the outcome to be. Attachment to the outcome. I want this. I want this for this person. Oh, deadly. You know, I want them to have this. I'd like my child to be a successful ballet dancer. The poor little beast is miserable, crippling through all this stuff. Or I'd like them to marry this nice person over here whom they can't stand. Or I'd like my, you know, co-workers to have such and such and they don't want it, or whatever. To just not try to control. We don't really know what's best. To trust that people have some idea of how to live their life. Taking refuge in the three treasures. This is actively letting go of the agenda of our wish to control. When I take refuge in the three treasures and ask sincerely for help, I'm not saying, I want this. When we offer merit, as we did today, we're not saying, I want this and this and this for these people. We're saying, I wish the best for them, whatever that may be. We're leaving it open, you know. Maybe the person's going to die. Maybe they die peacefully. Maybe something else will happen. May it all be okay. May it not be what I'd like. But if we wish the best for somebody, there's a whole lot more possibility than my little agenda for them, what I think's best for them. Relinquishing what we want or what we think is best. Asking for help from something much bigger and wiser than we are. It's still being responsible. We're responsible for everything we do, say, and think. It's listening to that little voice that says, I don't know, that's not a good idea. Rather than just saying, oh yes, this is a great thing. You know, wait a minute. Let's wait here. Let's just sit with this a bit and see what happens. See what seems best. Maybe it's not the best thing. To be willing to do that, to ask other beings, ask the Sangha, ask our own heart, what's good here? You know, what's best? To be willing to do that is to relinquish our grip on the outcome, not trying to control everything, because we don't know what our answer is going to be, but to sincerely say, you know, what's best for me to do here? And to listen, to be willing to listen to what we hear, which may not be what we'd like, that is relinquishing our grip, relinquishing that control of everything. Doing our training of the self that wants things a certain way, to the very best of our ability, responding to the little voice that says, not a good idea. Doing the very best we can. We can change. We can relinquish the grip. We can learn new ways of responding to each other. Not trying to control what other people do. Taking responsibility for what we do. No blame, no judgment. Learning new and better ways of doing things. And as we relinquish judgment and resentment and all that, we can learn better ways of living our life because we leave room for new things. We're not just caught in the same old rut. This is what I always do with this. You know, this is the way to do this. But to see, oh, it's amazing what one can see about oneself. One stops and takes a breath right in the middle of something. What am I doing? Ooh, I better be quiet. Thank you. I'm going now. You know, rather than just keep on with something. One day, we're going to have to relinquish everything. We will not be in control anymore, and we have no idea how it's going to turn out, actually. And how much can we relinquish now of our agenda? While still taking care of things and people that we need to take care of, we're not relinquishing our responsibility, but we're relinquishing the grip, the agenda, relinquishing control. If we can become more comfortable with not being in control of things, trusting that things are fundamentally okay, no matter what they look like, we can just be more at ease with that. Able to breathe when we don't know where we're going, you know? And that we can learn from everything that happens to us, whether welcome or unwelcome. This will help us immeasurably. It'll help us now. It'll help us in the future. Whatever happens to us, to be able to, and willing actually, because we can, to be willing to entrust ourselves to that vast ocean and let it sustain us, not floundering around trying to control it, but to just entrust ourselves to that sea. And in order to float, we have to be still, and we have to entrust ourselves to it. That's our talk for the day. Thank you.